Remember the day after tomorrow.
Remember the day after tomorrow, my sons. That was how the father used to warn his two sons, Dele and Deji, whenever they offended one who was older than them. The father, mother, and their two sons, Dele and Deji, who, in the days gone by, lived in a remote village, were poor, but the father was not poor in the civilities which surround human life. In the night, when the day's work was over, and as soon as all of them sat before the fire, the old father would start to lecture his sons on how to respect their elders, so they might live longer to make their lives happy and worth living among the people of the village. Perhaps, Dele suggested one day to his younger brother Deji, remember the day after tomorrow is the name of our eldest brother, who was born and left our father and mother for a big town before we were born. And probably our father is just reminding us not to forget him, Deji said, supporting his brother Dele, because both of them were puzzled about this warning. And it was a pity that they did not understand what their old and weary father meant by that. But alas, Dele and Deji did not ask their father to tell them the meaning of the warning, but instead both convinced themselves that remember the day after tomorrow was the name of their eldest brother who had left their village for a big town before they were born. Unfortunately, a few years after their father had started to warn them like that, he died suddenly, and 2 months later their mother died as well. Then the two young boys began to take care of themselves, but not as satisfactorily as when their father and mother were alive. Dele and Deji each had a very big hunch on his back, as had their father, mother, and the rest of the family. So for their strange hunchbacks, other people in the village always called them the Hunchback Family. A year after their father and mother died, a strange, hefty man came to them in their father's house. The name of the man was Toto Fiyoko. He was tall, cheerful, and talkative, and always wore smart clothes. However, he was an expert trickster and kidnapper of children. He lived in the village which was next to Dele and Deji's village. He was very well known throughout his village and many other villages as well for his tricks. Toto Fiyoko had overheard when the father of the two boys warned them, remember the day after tomorrow, and noticed as well that everyone in the family had a hunch on the back. So one day he put a flat stone on his back in such a perfect way that the stone seemed exactly like a big hunch when he wore a garment over it. Having done so, he took a big suitcase and one expensive umbrella, and then he went to Dele and Deji in their dead father's house. He met them as they sat in their sitting room. "Hello, my dear two junior brothers," Toto Fiyoko said as he walked into the sitting room with a smiling face and put the umbrella and the big suitcase down. "Hello, sir. Welcome, sir. Please have a seat, sir," Dele and Deji said as he received Toto Fiyoko with a bit of a shock, especially when they saw the costly garments which he wore and the costly suitcase and the umbrella in his hand. "Thank you very much, my dear junior brothers. I am very sorry to tell you now that this is the first time I have ever come home since when both of you were born," Toto Fiyoko quickly explained to the boys as he was sitting down on the seat. "This is the cold water, sir," Deji said as he ran to the pot and brought cold water in an earthen bowl. He knelt down with due respect as he gave Toto Fiyoko the water. When he had drunk from the water and rested for a few seconds, Toto Fiyoko asked the boys with a quiet voice, as if he had not yet heard of the death of Dele and Deji's father and mother, "Has your father gone to the farm?" "Father? Our father died over a year ago," Dele and Deji exclaimed at the same time with sorrow. "Is it true that my father, or father of the whole family, has died? Please tell me the truth," Toto Fiyoko said, pretending to care. "Certainly. Our father died long ago," Dele and Deji, who were still greenhorns, confirmed the death of their father loudly. "My father is dead?" Toto Fiyoko raised his head up and hesitated for a few seconds, and then dropped his head down. Could the two of you remember that our father used to warn you always, before he died, that you must not forget? Remember the day after tomorrow? Totofioko asked the boys with a deceitful grief. Oh yes, you are right. Our father used to warn us always before his death that we must remember the day after tomorrow. And he told us also that remember the day after tomorrow would come home soon, Dele explained hastily. Was that so? Good. Totofioko paused for a few seconds as he started to raise his head up and down in a slow motion as if he was thinking seriously about the boy's father's death. Now, I confess to both of you that I am your eldest brother, whose name your father, before his death, had been mentioning to you often. And my name is Remember the Day After Tomorrow. And I am thus before you today, Totofuyoko said, and then he stood up. He posed himself before them for a few seconds, and then sat back down. I was born and went to a big town before both of you were born. So, both of you are my junior brothers because your father was my father as well. And I am coming to stay with you as from today, and I shall be taking great care of you, as well as our father did before he died. Now, to be sure that I am your eldest brother, the firstborn of our father, look at my hunchback, and how it resembles those of your own. But of course it is bigger than your own, and that must be so, because I am older than you. Totofioko stood up. He showed the boys his false hunchback, and then he sat down again. Thus he, with his trick, persuaded the two boys in such a cunning way that they accepted at once that he was their eldest brother, saying, "Ha! This is our eldest brother, whose name is Remember the Day After Tomorrow." Dele and Deji embraced Totofioko with gladness. By the way, where is your mother? Who is my mother as well? Totofioko, now their deceptive brother, asked loudly with his usual trick. Oh, she died just a few months after our father died, the two boys replied with sorrow. Ooh! Totofioko, having heard this, covered his head with both palms and wept for some minutes just to deceive the boys. Ah, stop weeping, brother! What are you doing that for? Stop it, sir! Dele and Deji stood up and caressed Totofioko until he stopped his false weeping. Then hardly had he stopped weeping when he stood up. He walked up and down in the house. He peeped into every room just to know the kind of property that was inside it. I am glad. All the property in the rooms is precious enough, and I will carry it back to my village. Totofioko thought this in his mind before he came back to the sitting room, while Dele and Deji were busy cooking food. And he and the boys ate together. Some days after Totofioko had begun living with Dele and Deji, he told them one morning, "Yes, now, both of you are aware already that only the eldest person in the family has the right to be in charge of all the property of his deceased father or mother. Therefore, I wish you to gather all our father's and mother's property together and bring it all to me. But instead of sharing these things now, I shall put all inside one of the rooms. Then I shall lock up the room and keep the key for myself." "Indeed, you are the right person to do so, sir," Dele and Deji exclaimed with gladness. "For, in fact, it is the eldest person in the family who has the right to be in charge of the property of his or her deceased. But in this case, Totofioko was not the right person to be in charge of Dele and Deji's father's and mother's property." Of course, these two boys did not realize that Totofioko was not their eldest brother and was not related to them in any way. So they gathered all of their father's and mother's property together. They brought all to Totofioko, and he put it all inside one of the rooms, and he kept the key in his pocket. In the midnight, when Totofioko saw that the two boys slept deeply, he opened the door of that room. He carried all the property to his village, and returned before daybreak. So the boys never knew that their inherited property had gone to Totofioko's village. Having spent a few more days with Deli and Deji, Totofioko advised them. "As I see, things are not moving fast in this our village. So, I shall take you to the big town from which I have recently come. You will be working there and earning a large sum of money. And, I believe, in 1 year's time, each of you will surely become a rich man. Out of your earnings you will marry beautiful ladies, and after that you will come back to this village." "Many thanks, brother, for your useful advice. But who will take care of our property after we have left our house?" Deli and Deji asked doubtfully. "Never mind about the property, my junior brothers, and you should not be afraid. There is not any thief who can break into our house and steal our property. Look at this juju leaf. It is a strong charm which has the power to scare away thieves, and I am going to hang it on the main door now." Totofioko showed Deli and Deji an empty leaf, and then he stood up. He went to the main door, and he hung the leaf there. Then, at 4 o'clock in the morning, before the people of the village had woken up, Totofioko, with his usual tricks, took Deli and Deji to his village. He hardly had entered his house when he pulled down the flat stone which he had put on his back, and which he had used to deceive the boys that he had a hunch like them. Now the boys knew that it was a flat stone Totofioko put on his back, and not a hunch. And in their presence he sold all their father's and mother's property to an auctioneer.
"Oh, this is our inherited property. Don't sell these things," Deli and Deji shouted unhappily when it was revealed to them, now that Totofioko had carried their inherited property to his village, and that he was selling it all.
"Shut your mouths there, or don't you know who you are talking to?" Totofioko boomed on the boys and then struck their mouths with a stick.
"Brother, don't be harsh to us this time, for you have confessed to us that you are our oldest brother, whose name is Remember the Day After Tomorrow," Deli bravely reminded Totofioko.
"Who is your eldest brother? Tell me now, I say, tell me," Totofioko shouted loudly with a fearful voice.
But Deli and Deji became dumb with fear. They could not speak out.
"I'm afraid that things have changed now," Deji whispered to Deli.
Deli nodded and whispered back to Deji, "I believe this man is a kidnapper of children and not our eldest brother or relative. This is not Remember the Day After Tomorrow at all." The following morning, and without giving food to the boys, Totofioko sold them to a slave dealer who lived in the next village. One morning, as Deli and Deji were working on the farm of their buyer, Totofioko, who were dressed in a costly garment, came up to them. Proudly he explained to them, "Yes, there you are now. I am sorry that it is too late for you to understand that Remember the Day After Tomorrow is not the name of a person, but it is a warning for the future. And it would have been better if you had asked the meaning of it from your father before he died. Then there could be no deceiver like me who would deceive you like this. And it is good practice for a young boy who does not understand the meaning of either a warning, proverb, or twisted words to ask for the full meaning and understand it thoroughly before it's too late. Goodbye, boys. Totofioko then hastily went away as both boys were weeping bitterly.